Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. As we start today, the first point I want to put on the record is our gratitude to all the listeners who became members of WYPR during the pledge drive this week. We couldn't do anything without your financial support. Thank you. Now, today's focus. Baltimore is home to one of the country's largest Jewish communities, and tonight at sundown, they'll begin observing Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the holiest day of the Jewish year. Judaism, like most other religions, contains several sects, one of which is Orthodoxy. Today, we're going to take a look inside Baltimore's burgeoning Orthodox Jewish community through the eyes and words of author Eli W. Schlossberg. Schlossberg is with us in the studio to talk about his new book, My Shtetl Baltimore, Stories and Recollections by a Native Son. It's a compilation of anecdotes about a lifetime in Baltimore. Schlossberg is also administrator of the charity Ahavas Yisrael and spent more than two decades managing his family business, Castle Food Products, providing gourmet foods to restaurants, hotels, and other establishments. Welcome to On the Record, Eli Schlossberg.
Thank you.
Explain what the Yiddish word shtetl means and why you chose to use it in your book's title.
A shtetl is a small little community town in Poland of yesteryear. And I don't know if today there are truly shtetls, and I point this out in the book. The reason I call my shtetl Baltimore a shtetl is because when I grew up in this town, the Orthodox community was very connected because we were only about 200, maybe 225 Orthodox families in Baltimore. And I knew everybody. I knew everyone in this town who was Orthodox by name.
And this was what period?
This was back in the 50s and early 60s. And it was a very small community, very tiny, but we were all very connected. And there are reasons that we're connected. First of all, to be Orthodox, you needed to be in walking distance to your synagogue. So we all clustered into one little area because we needed to, on the Sabbath, we don't drive, and therefore you needed to be in walking distance to the synagogue. So we were a shtetl, okay? And in my world, a shtetl is a connected community. Even today, when we're many more, maybe 4,000 Orthodox households, we still are a shtetl in a sense because we are very connected through services of the community and what the Orthodox community and the Jewish community provides in this town.
Well, how did Baltimore's Orthodox Jewish community grow to the size it is today?
I would say the success is Jewish education, the day schools, and there was the Ne'er Israel Rabbinical College, which was a college and a yeshiva, we call it, for boys to become rabbis. And what happened here in Baltimore was that, especially in the 60s, many of the alumni from that institution began to marry and settle here and start families. And that really caused the community to begin to grow in the Orthodox world in numbers. And then in the 70s and 80s and even today, people from all over the country, they hear about Baltimore and the wonderful educational opportunities available to Orthodox children. And many families are moving here.
And that's what has kept the Orthodox community here, the education or other factors?
I mean, the education and the infrastructure that we've built, okay? The Baltimore Jewish community, the Associated Jewish Charities, had built a beautiful infrastructure here in Baltimore. The Orthodox community also has developed many different, from ambulance service that we served our community, from visiting the sick in hospitals. We have organizations, charities, that assist Baltimore residents. And that infrastructure of, we call chesed, good deeds, okay, volunteers, of doing for our community and providing a very positive infrastructure. That makes Baltimore a vibrant community where people are attracted to it. And certainly education, which is of the primary interest of Orthodox families, because that's how Orthodoxy continues. So you probably have today in Baltimore between 18 and 22,000 persons who are Orthodox. They keep the Sabbath, they keep kosher laws, okay? And that makes a very strong community. We have restaurants, pizza shops, hamburger places, and all of that creates
kosher.
All of these are kosher.
Describing your book, you wrote, quote, "A theme that runs through the book is the huge challenges to the Jews of the 1940s, 50s, and 60s in Baltimore trying to live an Orthodox life," close quote. Expand on that.
In the 1940s, it was very, very difficult for a Sabbath observer to get a job. They would get hired on a Wednesday, they would get fired on Monday because they didn't show up on the Saturday. And if they told the boss they weren't working Saturday, he wouldn't hire them. So some took a chance and took a job, but then they got fired right away because they wanted to observe the laws of the Sabbath. And I tell a story in the book of a gentleman who held out trying to get a job and after 8 or 9 months could not land a job. So he finally, out of just putting food on the table, he decided he has to go to work even on the Sabbath. And he lived in the Greenspring or Pikesville area at that time. And he walked to Glendon, Maryland every Saturday because he said, I have to take the job to make money for food, but I don't have a right to drive to work. I'm not getting paid to drive to work. And that's against the Sabbath laws to drive. So he actually walked, and you're talking 20 miles at least, every Saturday to go to work. So there was tremendous challenges. My father was making $9 a week and was offered a job in New York for $35. The gentleman's office was in the Empire State Building. And the man said, but you have to work on Saturdays. My father said, sir, I do not work on Saturdays. And he literally got thrown out of the office. So basically, it was a big challenge. But many Orthodox Jews were becoming non-religious in the 40s and the 50s because of pressures like that. And that's why the community dwindled. Orthodoxy back in the 20s and 30s was much more prevalent in East Baltimore. And then people left the Orthodox traditions because of pressures like working on the Sabbath and so forth. And that only came back in the 60s and very strong. It's come back to make Baltimore one of the second or third largest Jewish communities in America.
I'm not sure I followed when you said that only came back. That refers
to Orthodoxy and the amount of Orthodox families.
That's Eli W. Schlossberg here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about his book, My Shtetl Baltimore, Stories and Recollections by a Native Son. How did you come to write the book, and who did you write it for?
Originally, and for the last 20 years, I've been writing periodicals, small chapters about my life and experiences that I've had in Baltimore. And they were published by a local magazine, and this book is a compilation of many of those stories. But it's not just Baltimore-related. It also deals with I traveled extensively in my business career. I was in many exotic countries, like in the early 80s, I visited China. I have stories, about China
I want to ask you about that, but before I do, a big part of what shaped my experience in the book is your liberal use of Yiddish words, most of which I would only know by referring to your extensive glossary in the back. Why so many Yiddish words in this memoir?
Because the audience I was writing to originally was the Orthodox audience who were readers of these magazines. And that's why we put in an extensive glossary to translate. So it could be a challenge for certain people, but
I'm here to tell you.
I'm sure it is. It is a book that needs to be referenced, especially to the glossary, for people who are not familiar with some of those terms.
Tell me one of the stories. Read to us one of the stories of your international travels, and if you would set it up for us.
Yes. Okay. It's called Candles in China. Traveling for business has led my wife and me to most European countries, Australia, China, and many other wonderful exotic destinations. Kosher was a true challenge and was much more difficult than it is today. The best story is the time my wife and I needed to bless the candles for the Sabbath in Beijing, the capital of China. I feared that lighting candles in our room in the wooden hotel building was a danger and suggested that we light them at the table in the hotel restaurant instead. We gathered our Sabbath food, the wine and the food, and ordered a Coca-Cola in the restaurant. My wife lit the candles, and all of a sudden, our table was surrounded by 8 Chinese waiters who happily sang Happy Birthday in Chinese and its harmonious chorus.
Obviously, it is important to you to chronicle the past. Why?
I reminisce because I love to share stories, and hopefully it gives the reader an insight into our lifestyle as Orthodox Jews.
Does Baltimore still feel like a shtetl?
I live in what I call a shtetl because I know all my neighbors. I know, you know, people in the community, and that's why I still call it a shtetl. In the scheme of things, Orthodoxy is still a very small part of the American population. So I try and keep good relations between all of our people and all of Baltimore.
I appreciate your giving us some insight into it. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Eli W. Schlossberg is author of My Shtetl Baltimore, Stories and Recollections by a Native Son. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have a link to information about the book. After the break, we'll have a story from a special edition of Stoop Storytelling, The Joys and Oys of Contemporary Jewish Life. Stay with us for that. I'm Sheila Cass. To those observing Yom Kippur tonight and tomorrow, have an easy and meaningful fast.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.